Blog Talk Radio.
There's some dangerous large carnivore out there.
Yeah, I saw that bird kick a young deer off the road and fly away.
And it was just about getting dark, and we started panicking, running down the bridge, not really having any clue what was throwing rocks in our vicinity, good-sized rocks. And I stopped long enough to get a 357 out of my backpack and look back, and that's when I thought I saw one.
Actually attacked two railroad workers, killed livestock. You know, just a lot of weird stuff that was going on.
Sunday evening, Monster Xers. This is Sasquatch Coffee founder and Monster X host Gunnar Monson. And with me, as always, is my good friend Shane Corson. You might have heard Shane on Cryptologic Radio. Shane, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing fantastic. I really enjoyed enjoyed my time at the Hopsquatch event today, so I'm glad to be here at Monster X Radio.
Yeah, I know it was. If you're not familiar, or if you are, Hopsquatch is an event that Guy Edwards hosts in Portland once a month, and there's always he always gets great speakers. Today we had Todd Neese and Diane Neese. That presented information, you know, about talking about technology and unveiled some of their future plans. They both had Bigfoot-related entities that they are combining now that they actually got married at Beachfoot last year. So it was that was pretty cool. That was my first Bigfoot wedding. I don't know about you, Shane, but.
Indeed, it was my first Bigfoot wedding, I guess, yeah.
But, yeah, so what'd you think? I like the stuff that they presented. Todd's always interesting, and it's interesting because Todd's one of the first guys that I actually went out with, and he took me out to the area near, not exactly to the place where he had his encounter, but in the Saddle Mountain area, we hooked up and he showed me they had an expedition out there. He'd spent, I think it was 8 days out there with Peter Byrne and Ron Moorhead.
Eight days.
Yeah, and he touched on the story that he shared with me and the other guy that was a member of the BFRO. And he had something scream at him at night. And what he didn't tell at the Hopsquatch is that he was actually taking a leak in the pitch black up against a tree. And when this thing screamed at him with a volume that he just froze. So, they had some interesting experiences up in Saddle Mountain area. there east of Seaside, and I was like, I mean, that's always one of the cool things and interesting things about people that have sightings, Bigfoot encounters, is like, it's a defining moment in a lot of people's lives. I mean, that changes people. There's people that before were really comfortable in the woods and won't go in the woods anymore, or at least not in the area where they have their encounter. And in Todd's case, he became a Bigfoot researcher after. I mean, he's been in pursuit of confirming their existence ever since. And can't imagine how much resources he's poured into trying to find evidence of their existence to prove them. And he's not done yet. They have some very ambitious plans, he and Diane do, to over the next, they have some short, medium, and long-term range goals that are really ambitious, with always the end as, I think, result, hoping to prove that they exist. So I thought I found it informative. I mean, and I've known them both for a long time. Very cool couple. So, and they, of course, are the hosts of Beachfoot every year.
Yeah. What makes them such a great couple is that Todd had this experience, this sighting that was, corroborated by, four other individuals back in 1993. And Diane, to my knowledge, she's never had a sighting. She's been involved with research for a long time, but never had a sign. But yet, it's kind of like, and not that Todd's not skeptical. He's very skeptical of a lot of evidence and whatnot. But Diane is very skeptical of a lot of evidence. Not that she doesn't believe. She fully believes in the existence of Sasquatch. But those two paired up make such a great combination. And that showed in the presentation tonight at the Guy Edwards Hopsquatch event. The presentation, showed that Todd started out with his encounter, gave a background about his military experience, what they were doing out there back in 93 near Saddle Mountain. And, he elaborated on that. And they went into historical, stuff. And Diane talked about, unfortunately, which is prevalent nowadays, the hoaxers and the people associated with hoaxers and whatnot, and some of the real bad evidence. But she also went into some of the good evidence. So they make a really good power team when it comes to this subject.
Right, and that's that Bigfoot last, that everything, you run the evidence through a fine filter, and that when you've, it's not Bigfoot till you've ruled out every other possibility. So that's
exactly
also my approach. I mean, I know that you share that view as well. So
absolutely. We have Guy online here. I just wanted to cover a few things real quick. One was I wanted to say thank you to Jazz Smith for our new Facebook cover photo and emblem. Fantastic job. I reached out to Jazz Smith. He's out of England, and he's got skills that I do not obtain, and I asked him to create something for Monster X, a new something to represent us, and he did a fantastic job. So if you're not involved with Monster X on Facebook, please join us and look at his creation. I really, really like it a lot. I think he really captured what we're about in this simple. It's simple but profound. I really like it. Kudos
well
to him. Thank you so much, Jasmine. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you a lot. Yeah. That off the hook. Very, very nice job. So the new look of Monster X. Take a look. You can see it on our Facebook page. Yeah, the cover photo is the bomb. So,
yeah, it's a bomb. Fantastic, love it. Secondly, before we get Guy Edwards on here. Cindy Cadell, fellow Tillamook Forest researcher and Olympic Project member, is running, helping running the Falcon Project's runners, as far as people that are going to be helping those that are out in the field with supplies. And they are looking currently now still for runners, people to supply those supplies out there. 1 to 2 weeks. They've narrowed down the time a little bit. So if there's anybody listening to the show that is interested in being a runner for the Falcon Project, that can facilitate this and help out, they're still looking for runners, and it's a great endeavor.
Get a hold of Cindy.
Yeah.
Cindy, and that's Cindy Cattell. She's on Facebook. So I'm not sure what other contact she's. Is that how she did she tell you how to people should bet it's best for people to get a hold of her?
Well, I will. She did not, but I'm sure after tonight we'll post something in MXR Monster X Radio on Facebook.
Okay.
We'll post some links there that you can contact her. Right now, you probably best contact her on Facebook, but
nice.
After the show, I'll definitely get some better contact information posted. If you're interested, if you're serious about this, because it is a serious endeavor, and they take it that way, and you will be vetted somewhat. So if you're interested and it sounds like something you can partake in, definitely reach out, and we'll supply that information here after the show.
And the thing is, if you're not familiar with the Falcon Project, go back to our archives. We had William Barnes on a couple weeks ago, and listened to a show that the Falcon Project, they're using unmanned aircraft to scout some areas, and they're using that they're going to have people on the ground for what is the, I think the initial commitment is 6 months. Is that right?
Yes, for the actual people in the field, yes, 6 months, yeah.
Right. So, and then they're, of course, they're going to be in an area that's not easily accessible. So that the need for runners to bring, rather than taking up a bunch of time and coming back and forth out of the research area, they're having people take supplies into that area. So, you know, they're talking about
exactly
15-20 miles in an area that isn't easily accessed by road. So I raised my hand.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. I could make a commitment to, you know, I couldn't do it for 6 months, but I a week or two would
right.
be cool. So
excellent.
So that's, if you'd like to, if that's something that's up your alley, get a hold of Cindy. It's Cindy Rose Cadell on Facebook. Send her a message, and I'm sure I'm not sure how many people they're looking for, but it's a cool way to participate in a previously unprecedented project, you know, long-term, on the ground, and using technology to try and prove the existence of Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Forest People, Yowie, Scoopa. Thank you.
Yeah, and Cindy's basically just the coordinator for the runner aspect of the project. So don't seek her out for a whole lot of questions. She's just coordinating the runners. And she's a great person to do such, and that's why they sought her out. We will provide some information after the show for that, and look forward to those that are eager to sign up or possibly help out with this. But Gunnar, what do you say about getting Guy on here?
Let's do it.
All right, Mr. Guy Edwards, are you with us?
Hey, fellas, can you hear me?
Hey, Guy.
How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. You know why I'm doing great? I just came from Hopscotch.
Did you guys have a good time at Hopscotch?
Always, I did.
Todd
program.
And did a great job.
They did. We talked a little bit. I mean, that it's one of those cool things to me is like to see how having that kind of experience changes somebody's life. And like I was saying, Todd was not into Bigfoot before his experience, but he went full in after he had his encounter. So
right, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think that's a huge distinction with Todd, because he is, even today, is a no-nonsense type of guy, very serious. And so for him to, it would require for him to have a face-to-face, not as close to face-to-face, but to actually have an encounter on his own to be able to buy into all this Bigfoot stuff. Because I think even after he's had that encounter, and obviously, was a pivotal point of his life, even today when he talked about it, he got, I think it's safe to say, slightly emotional about it. And I think that that if you were to meet him on the street today and not know him from Adam, he would seem like such a serious guy that you would not think that he'd be somebody that would be into Bigfoot research or even entertain the idea of Bigfoot. And I think it's all because of that one pivotal moment that you're talking about, Gunnar, that can change someone's life. And that is one of my favorite stories, too, because just the alignment of the three Bigfoots that he eyewitnessed, perfectly symmetrical, one tall, one in the middle, and then one on each side that was kind of like swaying back and forth, swinging their arms. As soon as he described that to me, that has been burned into my memory as, if you're in a Jeep, in a caravan, and you're driving around the corner, and that's the thing you see, I think that's something that's going to haunt you for the rest of your life.
And, he wasn't the only member of his convoy there that saw it. There was four of them, it sounds like, all together.
Correct. And I didn't know about the, yeah.
That came forward.
And corroborated. And they all had the same description. They all had the same, and the story that Todd told today was, he was talking about how it came. A couple of people came forward. They were having a conversation, and this gal was talking about Todd's encounter, and these guys happened to walk by at the exact moment she was talking about it. And they're like, what are you just talking about? So, it was almost like meant to be that he got corroboration.
Yeah, I also liked how he said that at first he didn't mention it, and some other guy that I believe was sitting next to him eventually brought it up to Todd and asked Todd what he saw, and Todd was not going to be the first one to admit what he saw, and so the other guy actually before Todd could, confirm, it was the other guy that said, well, I look like it was basically tall, hairy guy that we would call Bigfoot, a very powerful story. I've had the fortune of being in him when he actually went through the hypno-regression. And of the multiple witnesses that we've done the hypno-regression on, there's always one point during the hypnosis where they start going from past tense, like they're remembering, then all of a sudden they're going to present tense. So, like, they'll start off as, like, first we went and did this, and then we walked and down the path, and everything sounds like past tense. Then as you get closer and closer to the encounter, all of a sudden they're talking in present tense verbs, and they're saying, now he's looking directly at me, and he's swinging back and forth, That transition always happens pretty close, right before the encounter. And right when that happens, I swear to God, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up on end, because you are all of a sudden right there with them. Like, this is not like a memory that someone is recalling at that point. This is something that you're experiencing with the witness at that point. And it just,
you facilitated that, that it's Doug Meacham that is, and you knew Doug before, and you kind of got Doug interested in doing that hypno regression with Bigfoot witnesses. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, I always knew that. Well, Doug is a clinical hypnotist, And so he has a reputation to protect, and so I was really, you know, it took me about a year to get enough guts to ask him. We happen to be both, we both happen to have offices in downtown Gresham, and to be honest, my initial idea for all this came from Tom Powell. Tom Powell had been saying that those UFO guys are 10 years ahead of us. And so I was like, well, how can, you know, if that's the case, what are we not doing that UFOologists have already been doing? And they were doing the hypno-regression type of stuff. And it's important to say that there's only a few people that can actually do hypno-regression. You actually have to be qualified. So you can't just do, you can't just be a qualified hypnotist. I think there's only four people west of the Mississippi that are qualified to actually go in and that know the protocols to do hypnoregression. Doug Meacham has to be one of them. But this is one of the things that those UFOologists were ahead of us on. And I thought, well, there's actually something to this regression. And so I asked Doug after about a year and asked him if he would be okay with it. And so we've been collecting a lot of data. We've been collecting lots of witnesses. And eventually, once we have it nice and packaged and we actually have a way to kind of like give our own voice to it or our own angle to it, we'll publish a lot of these videos. And because every one of these are recorded in video, and every one of them we actually have well documented as far as what happened, the year it happened, and so forth. But I'm just so glad that Todd Meese was able to come in and talk about his encounter. And just like everybody else, there's that one point where all of a sudden you're no longer remembering it with him, you're actually living the experience with him. And that was right when he turned the corner in that caravan and he saw those three Bigfoots staring back at him. And I was almost extremely uncomfortable because you felt like you were there.
And Doug has now done that with how many different witnesses? I mean, I know Todd was one, and there was another gentleman that spoke at Hopsquatch.
Right, and we've got about half a dozen. We're working about. We want to get a lot more. And so, if anybody is interested in doing some hypnoregression to their encounter, you know, definitely hit us up either through Bigfoot Lunch Club or Hopsquatch or these two guys at Monster X Radio. We would love to get as many encounters as possible, and it's at the very least, if as a witness you're a little bit apprehensive about it, it will be the most relaxing sleep you've ever had in your life. And we record everything, and you're fully aware of the whole point. I think one of the things that are misunderstood about hypnosis is when you go under, that you kind of become unconscious. But the truth is you're actually conscious the whole time. You just feel extremely relaxed. It is the most relaxing feeling you'll ever have in your life. You'll feel fully rested by the time you're done, and you're completely aware of the whole thing. It just gives you the ability to basically have a better memory while you're going through those encounters.
It's kind of like opening doorways back to, I mean, that's interesting, because that was, I think a lot of people have that impression that being hypnotized means being out of control, and that's not the case at all.
Right, absolutely, yeah. You're in complete control the whole time. You're aware of your surroundings. You can keep your eyes open. A lot of people, in order to focus more, they close their eyes, but you are actually completely aware.
So switching gears a little bit. So how long have you been doing Hopsquatch, Guy?
This is actually officially our third year. We did some unofficial ones in 2012, but we've been doing it through the Lucky Lab for 3 years. Well, we started off in Southeast Portland or Northeast Portland, and now we're in a larger area, the Lucky Lab in Northwest Portland.
That room is filled. I mean, that room is. Gets packed. Sometimes it's standing room only. So, I mean, it's a very popular event. I mean, and it's something that I always mark on my calendar. It's like, you know, I'm going to work my schedule around being at Hopsquatch. It's always cool. I mean, first of all, you get to hang out with other Bigfoot people, you know, so, and where else can you do that? And it's the kick-ass Bigfoot. I mean, it's just a cool event. And the speakers are always great. I mean, we've had, you know, we've had Cliff Barrick, and we've had Canyon Mark, that's what I call him.
Yeah, Mark and, Marcel.
Marcel, yeah, thank you. And
Marcel.
Yeah, and we've had, I mean, you've had all kinds of people, and great shows. Derek Randall from the Olympic Project has spoken. I mean, just Tom Powell
has
spoken.
Yeah, we've had some big academic guys like Meldrum and Binder Narwhal as well.
Right. So.
And speaking of academics, we hope to have Robert Michael Pyle. Some Bigfooters may be aware of him, but he wrote Where Bigfoot Walks. It's about the dark divide between Mount Adams and Mount St. Helens. And he's actually a world-renowned butterfly biologist, but he also happens to be really interested in Bigfoot. And his book actually sold out. Now it's in my second or third print. I highly recommend you guys, if you don't know who Robert Michael Pyle is, it's always nice to have someone from academia who is well-respected from another discipline like butterflies that is also into Bigfoot and gives some, gives some academic credibility to Bigfoot. I think one of the other things about Hopsquatch that I really like is I think people have been able to kind of network and get together. And I think Shane could speak to this. I think Shane got introduced to some people, and a lot of people got introduced to Shane, as long as with the Tillamook group kind of was able to grow, I think, a little bit. And I just think Hopsquatch is a great time for people to kind of meet each other that otherwise would not get a chance to, know who they are just online. You know, you're able to meet people face to face.
Yeah. I absolutely agree, Guy. I absolutely agree. There's a lot of people that attend these events that you won't find on Facebook or any social site that are silent speakers. They show up at these events to learn more, and when they feel comfortable, they share their encounters or their experience or their research. And, oh, man, I can't tell you how many people, since I've been attending these Hopsquatch events, have reached out to me, knowing the areas that I researched and had, you know, encounters in and whatnot, stuff that I look at in trying to study. A lot of these individuals, they will open up when they feel comfortable, and they're in a room of people that are very interested in the subject matter and very interested in what people have to say. When you open that door, it's phenomenal. And kudos to Hopsquatch, because it has led me down some very positive roads in talking to individuals and collaborating and stuff. And it's been really compelling at times, and it's also been really fulfilling. And I learn a lot from those that attend, those that speak, and whatnot. So kudos to Hopsquatch for that, because it has helped me out personally, and I know it's helped out a lot of other individuals and groups that are serious about the research of this subject.
Well, it allows a lot. I mean, you've got people of all different Squatch perspectives in the room. I mean, you've got people that are very flesh and blood, and you've got people that are paranormal, for lack of better words. So.
Yeah, I mean, and some of those people are, you know, very proud that they are paranormal. You know, I think Tom Powell comes to mind. He's actually, you know, teaches science at a high school, and he was at first had a very scientific approach to all this stuff, and then now he's, you know, pretty wears a, you know, a proud badge of being paranormal. But I think that's that is kind of the philosophy of Hopsquatch is I think there's room for everybody to contribute, and you don't have to believe 100% in everybody's theories, but I believe there is still something of value to everybody who's doing research on Bigfoot. I think everybody who's interested in Bigfoot is making a contribution, and I think that everybody who's making a contribution should be listened to, you know. And we don't have to buy into everything they say, but I in my heart of hearts, I believe that if someone is interested in the Bigfoot phenomena, they are definitely making a contribution to the community, and then we should, you know, pay respect to that contribution if we are all interested in getting closer to the truth about the phenomenon.
And I mean, I'm a flesh and blood guy, but I am open to the, there's people that are having, you know, unusual experience that can't be, that don't fall under the umbrella of known science. And
right.
And I don't dismiss them out of hand. I find it interesting. It's always interesting to me is that a lot of, you start talking to people that are interested in Bigfoot, they're also, a lot of them are interested in ghosts. There are also other, you know, unknown phenomenon that they, and, but you don't cross streams. It's kind of like Ghostbusters. You just,
right.
It's okay that there's psychic phenomenon over here, and you got Bigfoot, you got ghosts, and you got your whatever, but don't mix them together.
Right, right. Well, you know, one of the greatest examples of someone who I may not agree with as far as, you know, maybe the paranormal stuff, that'd be Toby Johnson down in the Eugene area. But if it wasn't for him, we would have never had the London Trackway that we discovered. And the London Trackway is even though Toby is very much into that paranormal camp, maybe even mind speaking, zapped, all those different kind of key phrases that the paranormal people use, and he's also said that he's experienced firsthand, that doesn't mean that, you know, that when he also has this other contribution that he's making, these physical prints of 120-plus tracks in soil, and we don't know, you know, the jury's still out whether or not how authentic they are, but still, this is giving us tremendous amount of information about Bigfoot. And I remember I was probably I was there on the second day, and when I saw these tracks in the soil, I just felt like this is the first time I could actually imagine in my mind's eye what it would look like to see a Sasquatch walk out to a certain degree, take 90 steps, take 90 more steps. And I didn't know until I saw those things, saw those tracks, that I never really pictured what it would be like to see Sasquatch out there in the environment, you know, especially, you know, when you have a trail. So I think that's a perfect example of, even if someone doesn't necessarily, you know, have the same ideology or the philosophy that you do, they're still making contributions to your own type of research. So although I'm not excited about glowing eyes and mind speak and being zapped, you know, I do love that we have these 120-plus tracks that we were able to mold and try to do some research on gait, on walk, and try, you know, if anything, get good practice on doing research, you know, trying to guess, is there more than one individual? Why would it go out into this lake bed? All these different questions spark a conversation with us. So that's why I don't, you know, from my own personal experience, that's why nothing should be off the table, and we should be listening to everybody, every single person, because they are making contributions. If not today, they will make some tomorrow, because everybody's out in the woods trying to do some field research.
And you do a great job of bringing everybody under that one umbrella. I mean, people come. I've yet to see a fist fight at a hop spot. So
thanks, because that can be a challenge sometimes. Because sometimes, you know, even veteran Bigfooters who have, you know, been doing it for, you know, two decades, normally would not want to be in the same room together. And and I would have to say almost every hopscotch I have two people that have, for whatever reason, not want to be in the same room together, but they still come together for hopscotch. So I'm really proud of that, and I appreciate that that gets noticed.
In fact, you're partially responsible for Shane and I being together here on Monster X, because it was,
I appreciate
through
that.
Hopscotch. Yeah, I know you made, you're like, you know.
Well, Gunnar, if I'm not giving you...
Batchmaker, thank you. I was trying not to say it. I know. But actually, I mean, it was through Hopscotch. I met Cindy Cadell, and Cindy invited Shane up to our research area, and Shane and I became friends. And one thing, and Shane was originally on Monster X and had gone on to do Cryptologic Radio, and then I got on I was invited to be on Monster X, and Johnny stepped aside, and the first person I thought of was Shane. So
that's great. Well, you guys are doing a great job with Monster X.
It's fun to do. I mean, one of my favorite things to talk about is Bigfoot. So it's cool to have sit around and BS with my friends about Bigfoot on the radio. So
what did you guys think of
it's really cool.
What's that? Would you say?
Well, I was kind of curious, I think Todd made some major announcements at the very end of Hopscotch as far as his future plans of what he wants. Number one, he's migrating the primate, organization with Diane's organization, and they're combining their organizations, which I think is fantastic, because they both had Bigfoot research organizations for over two decades, and between the two of them, 50 years of experience. But he also talked about some long-term plans. I was interested in what you guys thought about some of these longer-term plans that, because this was the first time he's ever announced them, and I didn't know he was going to announce them at Hopscotch, so I thought it was pretty breaking news.
It is. It's a Hopscotch scoop.
What's that?
It was a Hopscotch scoop.
Oh, it was. Yeah, absolutely. I think, he had some, near-term, mid-term, and I'm pretty excited about his long-term plans, too. I think I can't think of a better person to organize maybe a larger type of almost a facility, I think, is what he was talking about.
Yeah, that was really a cool and ambitious sounding project. He wants to have a primate, unknown primate research, a Bigfoot research center, basically, where people can come I can see a future Hopscotch is taking place at such a facility.
Absolutely.
Maybe a Sasquatch coffee little area in there, too. For,
Yes.
I did make notes that on his... he had left that out of the blueprints, but I'll be talking to Todd and Diane about that.
Right, we need a little barista corner.
Yeah, but espresso. Overall, espresso. But overall, Todd's got some great ideas and some rather large ideas, that I think they can happen. I think they will happen down the road. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but down the road. I think his ideas are well-placed. I think it's kind of what's needed is almost like a central command, so to speak, somewhere where it's grounded on science and that can compile data and all that in one place that is, like I said, grounded on science. I think it's a novel idea. I really like it.
Well, I think
that's
come up a number of times in the last couple of years in my talking to people, is that there is a lack of cohesive research in Bigfooting. You got all this, there's a lot of fragmentation. And even today in the question that I asked at Hopscotch was if Todd was aware of how many DNA samples that had been processed had come back as unknown primate. And he was not sure. I stumped the speaker, so I should have won a bag of Sasquatch coffee or something. But
you should have a prize for that.
But, that's a cool idea, is the idea of having a central location, because now I've always wondered what would happen if somebody that didn't have a direct connection, say, to Dr. Meldrum, what would they do if they came across some conclusive evidence, say a body or that's about it. There's about a body is about the most conclusive as you're going to get. So
right.
Even now, if we have, you have DNA processed, it comes back as there's no type specimens to compare it to, so all we have is an unknown species, probably in this case primate. Now my question is, you know, depends how many of those exist. You know, if it's two, it's a little easier to brush off. If it's 2,000, now, and we can put those all together in one place. So we have now 2,000 DNA samples that have come back in the same category as unknown
right.
primates. I mean, then it's a little, then the weight of evidence becomes like, you got to pay attention to it. But if they're all scattered about and there's one over here and there's one here and nobody knows how many there are and nobody's sharing it and there's no central
right.
processing of that, then it's very, you know, makes the task much all that much harder. So.
Well, I think, you know, the great thing is, you know, between the, you know, the speakers that we've had at Hop Squatch, the attendees and all the, you know, great research that that Shane and you have been doing is, you know, we can pretty much focus on the Pacific Northwest, you know, that which would include Northern California, all of Oregon, and all of Washington. And although I know there's a lot of action going on all across the nation, you know, I think that because we're in the Northwest and we've got really good guys in Northern California already, and I would think of, like, you know, Stroyfert and Rowdy Kelly and all those other guys, and then we've got, you know, this great community here in Portland, Oregon, and then we've got the guys at the Olympic Project, which basically covers about as far north of Washington that you can go. I mean, I think that, you know, between the basically the North Pacific Northwest community, I don't mean to exclude anybody, but I think that we could really do a good job because Bigfoot's in our backyard, and I just feel like as a community we get along better than most others. You know, I think we're all eager to kind of help each other, and I think, you know, I think part of the problem why we haven't made much progress in the last 50 or 60 years is because a lot of the researchers wanted ownership over their own research or what they've discovered. And I think that with the generation we have now, I think everybody really wants to share. I think everybody, you know, I don't think anybody has to be the guy that does it. I think everybody wants to just be a part of it. So I think in the next, you know, 5 or 10 years, we have the best chance over any other time in history to really do some good Bigfoot research. I would consider this like a golden age, really.
Yeah,
and
I agree. These events are not a hug fest, by no means. It's a collaboration of ideas, opinions, and experiences. Such with Hop Squatch, you know, you invite all realms of speakers that had all sorts of encounters and bring their research to the table. It's not a hug fest, by no means. It's just
right.
Here's what I got. Listen to me, agree or disagree with me, and take what you will from that. And to me, that's what it's all about, because right now we don't have a whole lot to go on other than what is given forth. You know, I mean, shoot, I have an encounter. I have certain pieces of evidence, but if you can collaborate and agree to collaborate and agree to maybe disagree or agree, you're going to be that much farther in research than if you just close that door, close that box, and shut off every idea, every opinion. You get nowhere, and then you're stuck with yourself.
When the thing is that everything in Bigfoot right now is basically theory. I mean, all we got is hypothesis, and what we, you know, we can start out and it has to, and with every hypothesis and theory, you have to go out and test it. So we can't, you can't just say this is fact and put that forth because there is some of that in Bigfoot. It's like, it's true because I say it's true. And that's not scientific. I mean, that's, I have a strong personality and I will overwhelm you with by pushing it down your throat. That is a giant red flag
yep.
You better prove to me, you know, it's about evidence. What can you prove? It is, I think that the scientific community won't, first of all, the public perception and the media in particular jumps on anything that is funny or farcical or hoax-driven in Bigfooting, because it makes, you know, a cute story, human interest story.
Right.
So it challenges those that are interested in serious Bigfoot research to do a good job of vetting their evidence, and that's a challenge with the paranormal aspect of Bigfooting. It's impossible to prove. You know, you can't prove mind speaking. All you have is anecdotal evidence. You can't prove cloaking, because all you have is anecdotal evidence. So even if those things are, you know, believe in them or don't believe in them, or experience them or don't experience them, they can't be proven. So until we can prove that there, and we can't even prove that there's a flesh and blood creature definitively.
Right.
So until we can do that, then what is their nature? I did a presentation at Scotch called Bigfoot's Brain, and the idea was that maybe, you know, if humans can be psychic, if we have some of those abilities. I don't think the humans yet are cloaking, though I'm sure that I could find somebody that says that they do. But the idea is that it's how similar to our brains a Bigfoot's brain would be. If we are psychic, have the ability to be psychic, then if their brain is really similar to ours, then perhaps they could have that ability, if you believe that humans have that ability. But
well, if
we
their brains are similar to yours, if their brains are similar to yours, Gunnar, then we're in trouble.
I know, well, absolutely. and if they're similar to yours, they're walking around the forest smelling each other's hair. So
that's not my fault. I can't be helped. I can't
What's
help that.
That.
That's not my fault.
So, but it's. So it's all theory, it's all speculation. We've got footprints in the ground. We've got some, you know, DNA samples that have come back as an unknown primate. We have tons of anecdotal evidence, and not much else. So
right.
It's hard for anybody to, like, you know, jump on anybody else. It's always funny to me, the people that come down so hard on people that have had, for lack of a better term, paranormal experiences, and mock them. I say, you know, that's a little like being in a glass house and throwing a rock, because we're all a little nuts. We're looking for Bigfoot. So
absolutely, you know, that's also why it breaks my heart, because, you know, as anybody who entertains the possibility that Bigfoot is out there, we're already in a closed group,
fringe.
A unique, you know, we're on the fringe already, and
right.
So you know, we're already, there's already probably a big popular culture that thinks it's a joke to be even curious about it. So then, you know, all of us that are marginalized and in this fringe, we really should have each other's backs. We really should be,
right.
you know, supporting each other. And you brought up something earlier that I do think would be healthy is, you know, when you're sharing your research, being open to somebody kind of pushing back a little bit. And one of the things that I wish we had a little bit more of in the community is not skeptics, but serious skeptics. Like Brian Dunning has a website called Skeptoid, but he's a really disciplined skeptic, and he doesn't say that Bigfoot is not. He doesn't rule out Bigfoot, but someone like him, being introduced to our community, who has a discipline of being a critical thinker, would do tons to contribute to what we should be looking for and how we should be conducting our research, because he calls himself a Bigfoot hopeful, but yet he's very critical of our processes, and so he would be holding our feet to the fire as far as how we should be conducting our research, how we should be collecting our data, and at the same time, it wouldn't be just somebody that is just outright writing us off. as someone who would kind of introduce that, what I would call, you know, that discipline that's required to present data or to present an argument.
Yeah, true skepticism. True skepticism in the meaning of the word.
Right. And I am a,
yes.
I will qualify myself as a Bigfoot hopeful as well. I mean, I lean strongly towards the possibility that they exist. I know too many people by one degree, people like Shane that have seen a Bigfoot. They don't, you know, for them it's just going forward and bringing it to light to other people. But I still reserve 2%, maybe, you know, 2.5% until I have my own sighting that maybe Shane and every other, you know, Bigfoot witness is wrong, perhaps crazy.
Right.
I don't, you know, he seems normal in person, really does.
Well, I drink chocolate coffee.
Right. But you never know what happens after, you know, after they leave the presence.
He could wear women's underwear at home. I don't know. I mean, that's a...
Or people's skin, dead people's skin.
Only when I'm
home.
Not go... only when I'm out in the field.
It keeps me on my toes.
And prevents you from getting zapped, I'm sure.
Yes.
Not all the time, let me tell you.
But sir, I mean, I can't say enough. I mean, good about what you've created in creating, putting together the Hopscotch, and how I know it. People don't. I don't think everybody understands how much work goes into making an event like this happen, month after month after month, and coming up with the speakers and.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I can't take all credit. A lot of credit goes to Angie Durant, too. She makes sure that we have the spaces booked for the time period, and she's, you know, working the door. So, you know, I really couldn't do it without Angie. And, you know, I think the other piece of it is Jay Lahan, who he couldn't make it today, but he let me borrow his equipment. And, I don't know if anybody, if any of your listeners ever went to the Western Bigfoot Societies that Ray Crow used to do, and I believe he still does them once in a while out in St. John's.
He does.
But, okay, but what happens is they're done in a diner where they're still cooking and grilling, and the best audio they have is basically, you know, a boombox from the 1980s and a microphone, you know. And although... I think that he has great guests. It's just, to me, one of the things that I want to do at Hopscotch is make sure that, you know, if we have a guest, that we have a really good platform for people to be able to hear them, see their presentation, and you know, you're not, you know, trying to hear somebody over dishes clanking or grills simmering and stuff like that.
There's always plenty of time to talk to the speakers after or during their presentation, which is awesome, epic.
Yeah, I mean, there's always question and answer. I mean, it's a guy runs Hopscotch like it's very interactive. You get to ask questions of the presenters, you know, and they stick around. They're always, you know, I've never had anybody... I'm now, you know, friends with people that I would have never had the opportunity, or it would have been difficult to have the opportunity to be friends with without Hopscotch. It's just that, you know, it's a great place to mingle and meet the who's who in Bigfooting in the Pacific Northwest. And if you can ever make it to a Hopscotch, I highly suggest that you do, because you'll want to come back again, I know for sure.
Yeah, especially this April, we have Larry Lund, if you guys don't mind me plugging my April Hopscotch. Larry Lund is a guy who did research with Peter Byrne. He's done research with all the original Four Horsemen, you know, Krantz, DeHinden, Byrne, and Green. he's done it with all these guys, and he's just maybe maybe 10 years younger than these guys, but he was doing research with all the major Bigfooters. He has tons of documents of every letter he's written to John Green and to DeHinden. He literally has, in his own basement, he has a museum, basically, of every type of conversation. Because back then they would do it with snail mail, and they'd actually use typewriters and letters. And he has every letter of correspondence between all these major Bigfooters, and one day I hope to, you know, somehow compile all of them. But in the 1990s with Unsolved Mysteries and also Jay Leno, he was a guy, he was the Cliff Berrickman or the Jeff Meldrum back then. He was a guy that everybody went to. He has, within the last few years, stopped doing any type of Bigfoot stuff, and so basically he gets together, has breakfast with a couple of the old schoolers, but he doesn't do any Bigfoot presentations, any conventions or anything like that. I've been working on him for, no exaggeration, for 2 years, trying to get him to come out of retirement and do a special Hopsquatch event. And finally I got confirmation that he's going to be there in April, and he's happy to do it.
Excellent.
And so this is a big get for Hopsquatch. I'm really excited, but I don't imagine that he's going to do any more presentations after this. So I think he's going to come out of retirement just for this one gig. And I promise you, if you're anywhere within, you know, 3,000 miles of Portland, you will want to come to this Hopsquatch.
And that's probably understating it. If you can get here from England, I mean, if you can, you know.
That's true.
Clear your calendar to get the April Hopsquatch. I'm going to be reserving my seat as soon as I get off Monster X tonight, so.
If there is one ocean between you and the continent of North America, you need to cross that ocean to make it to this next Hopsquatch in April. I don't have March lined up. It may be Ron Moorhead, who definitely has the best audio, but I really want to encourage people to make sure that you make it to the April one, because it will also show Larry that this new generation of Bigfooters are very serious, very interested, and very much respect the people that we stand on the shoulders of, because there's a lot of things that I take for granted that I think I'm doing out in the woods because either other people are doing it or I thought of it myself, but it's probably because of these original guys have basically already thought of this. They've kind of paved the path for us, and so much so that a lot of the things that I find myself doing, I go, oh, John Green wrote about this a long time ago. Oh, you know, Grover Krantz was talking about this theory way back when, you know. And so Larry Lund is one of those guys that we probably are using some of his data, some of his information, some of his techniques, and we just don't realize it.
And that's like you're saying, he does not go out and do presentations now. So that shows his the influence of Mr. Guy Edwards in Bigfoot.
It shows how great my smile is.
Well, guys,
I just smile.
Guy, you have a fantastic smile, a fantastic event that you provide every month with the Hopsquatch. We're down to a couple of minutes here. Actually, we're down to about less than a minute. Anything you want to say before we go off air?
Shane and Gunner, you guys do a great job. I really appreciate you guys supporting me every month. We've got a Hopsquatch every third Sunday for the next all the way through November. So just go to www.hopsquatch.com, and we always announce it on BigfootLunchClub.com. Looking forward to seeing any of you guys there. Thank you, Gunner, and for all your support with your Bigfoot, with your Sasquatch coffee.
Well, you betcha. So, and if anybody is looking for needs website work done or is interested in promoting their product, their brand, Guy also is web magic man of the internet. He is behind the SquatchCoffee.com website, so you can go check out our website at www.SquatchCoffee.com, and it's Brain Charm Media is Guy's company, and he does a fantastic job and from helping you get your brand out there and build up and get traffic to your website, which if you sell more stuff, and I highly recommend it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
On that note,
we are at our hour.
So, Shane, Mr. Corson.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It sure does.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Guy, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and thank you once again for bringing just amazing and awesome Hopsquatch event to Portland here. Really appreciate all you do, Guy. Really, really do, and just bringing these people to the table that we love to listen to and learn from. And love these events. Please keep plugging away, man, because you're doing a great job. And I will always be a participant and a fan of the Hopsquatch events. So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Take
care.
And Guy Edwards in general. Just big fan of Guy Edwards.
Well, yeah, and Guy, yeah, of course. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, of course.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for Monster X this week. Tune in next Sunday at 4 p.m. Pacific, and we'll have another great show for you. So, live from Hopsquatch, we're signing out.